turn with me this morning to the 12th chapter of the book of Mark. I've said many times things don't change much, even though we think sometimes they do. We're in more modern society today, so things have changed, and that's true in some sense. As far as the religious world is concerned, though, it has changed very little. Same things going on today that always has gone on. And religion has fed upon religion. There is true religion, all right. But most religion is not true religion. It's far from it. Lest your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And who can exceed that? I've always marveled at the discipline of scribes and the Pharisees when I studied them, how disciplined they were to keep the letter of the law. Christ used that also. To show that kind of righteousness, which is of self-discipline, is not worth very much. It's void outside of the Spirit of God. Beginning in the 18th verse here, it said, "Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there's no resurrection, and ask him, saying," first thing we might look at here is that they believed that there wasn't any resurrection. Well, we'll see that a little further in a minute. There wasn't any power either. They didn't think there was any power, especially in a resurrection. Now, I said things hadn't changed, but you know people really, they don't really believe in the resurrection. Even though they say that there is a resurrection, but they don't really believe in a resurrection. They'd rather not believe in it because their resurrection will be unto something that they're not looking forward to. It's under condemnation and eternal fire. And they asked him, saying, "Master, Moses wrote unto us." Now, this is going to put the icing on the cake here. Moses said this. He said, "If a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother." Now, there were seven brethren. They're going to really mess him up here. "And the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also." We got a real problem here. And they were citing the law of Moses. It's what Moses said. Well, if the man died and left his wife, then his brother would take up there and leave him seed. And I think there's something in that also, in that they were to plenish the earth. And they were to raise up seed unto them, and especially of the house of Israel, so that there would be one to inherit. And inheritance is vitally important. If there's no inheritance, then there's no nothing to inherit or no kingdom. So our inheritance is in the kingdom. But they think they've asked Jesus something here he can't answer. No way he's going to answer this. And he said, in the resurrection, therefore. Now, you understand, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels or spirits. Their doing good was just here. And that was their righteousness, and that was their salvation, just to do good. What they considered to be good. And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, and neither the power of God? One thing, there wouldn't be any kind of union like that in heaven to start with, where there'd be man and wife. There won't be any need of any kind of union like that. You know who the bride is. So there won't be any union other than that. His people with the bride. So there'll be the union there. He'll be the light and the union with his people. They'll be one. The same as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. They'll be one. I have a little problem with waiting to see Grandpa over in heaven. It may be so, but we won't see him nothing like people imagine at all. Earthly things, physical and earthly things, will not even be considered at all. Been a lot of songs written about that, though. Walk slow and I'm going to catch up with you after a while and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if we really recognize anybody as having been kin or whatever there. I don't think so. Yeah, because the marriage will not be there any longer with things of this world. But it'll be with Jesus Christ himself, which will take away all that. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses? Now he's going to turn it around on them. Look, this where this come from. You're citing Moses. Now let me tell you what Moses said. How in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead. Now he's kind of put it on them here, because if they didn't see these things, they are dead. And he's not the God of the dead, but God of living. Ye therefore do greatly err. And one of the scribes, this is one on the other side of the aisle, you understand? He's even smarter yet. He got more understanding. We'll see he does. Came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is first commandment of all. Well, you answered that really good, but let me ask you this. We're going to really get down to business here now. And Jesus answering him, The first of all the commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." And this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And this smart scribe, it said, "And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Sound like reading over in the New Testament, doesn't it? And said, "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." The word was nigh, wasn't it? Even in his mouth. He perceived this is right. He answered right. He couldn't deny that. And he is so close. He understood these things. And really, the scribes and the Pharisees of our day, I'm not talking about those in Israel. I'm talking about those that are about us and among us, have same mentality. Well, they get so close. But their righteousness is in what they are doing, and not in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And they're in bondage. As these scribes and Pharisees here were in bondage to the keeping of the letter of the law, they're exactly the same today. They're in bondage of what they can do. And they make this statement, God loves everybody. Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? He is God of love. God is love. And that's close. But to left off the whole truth, Lord loves His people, His church. Nothing else. Something else I find funny here, he said, as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Do you understand that that's what they were so busy in doing? Why did he understand? Because there wasn't any grace there. He is so close, yet he missed the mark. Acts the 23rd chapter, looking at incident here. Verse 1 said, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren," and I've got old Paul cornered up, and they're going to do him just like they're going to do Jesus. They're going to put it on him. "Men, brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth." There's another parallel here. Same thing they'd done to Christ. Their hatred of God was so great that they'd do anything. They'd keep the letter of the law, but not in the spirit of the law. And they were angry. I'm talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. Both sides of the aisle were the same. They had little different beliefs, like the Baptists and the Methodists. One wanted to sprinkle, one wanted to dip. And they put so much emphasis on that they missed the whole thing. Then said Paul unto him, God smite, shall smite thee, thou whited wall. Wonder what he meant by that. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and condemnest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wish not, brethren, that he was a high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and others Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. This is all they had against him. And when he had said, so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. They were pretty much together. Now all of a sudden they're at one another. Got a big argument going now. Is it better to baptize or just sprinkle them a little? That's how ridiculous all this was. For the Sadducees says there's no resurrection. Neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry. And the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. They had that much sense. At least it was a good excuse. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night falling, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. There's two things we see here. One is this resurrection. They didn't believe in it. Part of them didn't, and part of them did. But neither one were on the right track. Both of them were just as far off one as the other because their righteousness was not based upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. That's where the power was. They didn't understand that. One believed that there wasn't a resurrection, the other believed that there was. But neither one saw any power in it. One was just bad as the other because one said there wasn't a resurrection. Well, wasn't no power there. And the other said there was a resurrection. But they still didn't see any power in it. But Jesus Christ was the first fruit resurrected from the dead. Had not been for that, there wouldn't have been any resurrection of any. Because the resurrection is unto life, and he is the God of the living and not of the dead. They had a little problem here with Paul. he was one of them. And they are scared to death of their own law. But they will circumvent it, you understand, because they hate God so bad. But we also see the power of God here, because they weren't going to take Paul at the time, just like they couldn't take Jesus Christ until the time was right. He's got a job to do. He's to go on down to Rome and preach the gospel. He's going to go to the Gentiles. But the scribes and the Pharisees couldn't see this in the law. They said, we'd be Abraham's children. We'd never been in bondage to anybody. We're free men. But all the time they were bound under the law and not grace.